Good evening. This is Akashwani. I am VC Pramod with the news at 9. The headlines. Prime Minister Narendra Modi highlights that India is advancing swiftly amid fast-changing global systems. Says core principle of governance is to make public services more capable and more sensitive to citizens. Parliament clears Central Armed Police Forces General Administration Bill and Jan Vishwas Amendment of Provisions Bill. Also passes bill to accord statutory status to Amravati as sole capital of Andhra Pradesh. Supreme Court criticizes West Bengal administration over judicial officers being held hostage during SIR drive in Malda, allows Election Commission to seek central probe, asks poll panel to deploy central forces. Campaigning gains momentum for assembly elections in Assam, West Bengal, Kerala, Tamil Nadu and Puducherry. New Delhi condemns recent attacks on UN peacekeepers deployed in UNIFIL and calls for ensuring their safety and security. And Indian boxer Aditya Pratap Yadav storms into the quarterfinals of Asian Boxing Championships in Mongolia. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has emphasized that India's rapidly changing aspirations demand a governance model that is not only efficient but deeply citizen-centric, underscoring the need for public services to keep pace with the rapidly transforming world. The Prime Minister highlighted that India is advancing swiftly amidst fast-changing global systems and must continuously update its governance machinery. Mr. Modi stated this in a video message today while addressing the Karma Yogi Sadhana Saptah 2026.
आज गवर्नेंस के जिस सिद्धांत को लेकर हम आगे बढ़ रहे हैं उसका मूल मंत्र है नागरिक देवो भव। इस मंत्र में समाहित भावना के साथ आज पब्लिक सर्विस को ज्यादा कैपेबल नागरिकों के लिए ज्यादा सेंसिटिव बनाने पर फोकस किया जा रहा है। अब शासन को सिटीजन सेंट्रिक बनाकर एक नई पहचान दी जा रही है।
The Prime Minister highlighted that improving ease of living and quality of life should be the primary focus of governance. Turning to the critical importance of technology, the Prime Minister pointed to the deep integration of technology into government functioning over the past 11 years, spanning governance, service delivery and the economy. A week-long Karma Yogi Sadhana Saptah started from today. It aims to build the capacity, performance and efficiency of civil servants across the country. The government today said that full custom duty exemption will be provided on critical petrochemical products till the 30th of June this year amid the ongoing crisis in West Asia. Addressing the media at the interministerial briefing on recent developments in West Asia, member of the Central Board of Indirect Taxes and Customs Sanjay Mangal said this measure will also provide relief to consumers of their final products.
This measure has been taken as a temporary and targeted relief in order to ensure continued availability of critical petrochemical inputs for domestic industry, reduce cost pressures on downstream sectors, and safeguard supply stability in the country. This exemption is expected to benefit a large number of sectors, which includes plastics, packaging, textiles, pharmaceuticals, chemicals, automotive components, and other manufacturing segments.
Talking to Akashwani News, Executive Director of the Indian Drug Manufacturers Association, Ashok K. Madan, welcomed the government's decision to grant customs duty exemption on critical petrochemical products.
The Ministry of Finance has issued a notification yesterday wherein they have provided the customs duty exemption for a large number of chemicals and petrochemicals, and they are definitely going to help the industry to provide a cushion against the increased prices abroad. So that will be a great help to the industry, and it will also be a help to the consumers who are going to consume the goods.
Joint Secretary, Minister of Petroleum and Natural Gas, Sujata Sharma, said crude availability in the country is normal and refineries are operating at maximum capacity. She noted that government has reduced excise duty on petrol and diesel to keep prices stable. She said that the government has made arrangements to ensure adequate crude supply for the next 60 days. External Affairs Ministry spokesperson Nandir Jaiswal informed that around 1,200 Indian nationals, including 845 students, have been assisted in exiting Iran through land borders into Armenia and Azerbaijan.
So far, we have facilitated 1,200 Indian nationals, which includes 845 Indian students, to exit Iran via the land border into Armenia and Azerbaijan. Of these, 996 crossed over into Armenia and 204 into Azerbaijan. We thank the authorities in Armenia and Azerbaijan for their support.
India today condemned the recent attacks on UN peacekeepers deployed in UNIFIL and called for ensuring their safety and security. Briefing media in New Delhi, External Affairs Ministry spokesperson Randhir Jaiswal said, India seeks accountability for crimes against peacekeepers as one of the largest and longest-serving contributors to peacekeeping. Mr. Jaiswal highlighted that there are 600 Indian troops in UNIFIL which have made significant contribution to global peacekeeping and security under the aegis of UN-mandated peacekeeping missions.
We would like to emphasize that the inviolability of UN missions must be ensured and safety and security of our peacekeepers must be ensured. As one of the largest and longest serving contributors to peacekeeping, as also in consonance with UN Security Council Resolution 2589, we seek accountability for crimes against peacekeepers.
The spokesperson said New Delhi is in touch with Iran and other countries in that region for unimpeded and safe transit for Indian ships carrying LPG, LNG and other products. He highlighted that six Indian ships have been able to safely cross the Strait of Hormuz and India continues to be in touch with relevant parties. Mr. Jaiswal also informed that the UK has invited several countries, including India, for talks on the Strait of Hormuz. He added that the Foreign Secretary will attend the meeting. Defence Minister Rajnath Singh is chairing the meeting of the Informal Empowered Group of Ministers, IGOM, in New Delhi. The IGOM has been set up to monitor the evolving situation in West Asia. The Parliament has passed the Central Armed Police Forces General Administration Bill 2026 after Lok Sabha approved it today with a voice vote. Rajya Sabha has already passed the bill. The bill provides for 50% of posts in the CAPFs to be filled by deputation, the rank of Inspector General, and a minimum of 67% of the posts to be filled by deputation in the rank of Additional Director General, and all posts in the ranks of Special Director General and Director General shall be filled by deputation only. After passage of the bill, Speaker Om Birla informed the House that the Lok Sabha will meet on the 16th of this month to discuss some important legislations. The Parliament has passed the Jan Vishwas Amendment of Provisions Bill 2026, with the Rajya Sabha approving it today. The Lok Sabha had passed the bill yesterday. The legislation amends certain enactments for decriminalizing and rationalizing offences to further enhance trust-based governance for ease of living and doing business. Replying to the discussion on the bill, Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal said that the bill will help in the ease of doing business and the ease of living by decriminalizing minor offences. Earlier initiating the discussion, Shakti Singh Gohil of Congress said the government has brought the bill in haste. Manoj Kumar Jha of RJD, Mastan Rao Yadav Bida of TDP, Golla Babu Rao of YSRCP, Nirnanjan Bishi of BJD, P. Wilson of the DMK and Ashok Kumar Mittal of AAP also participated in the discussion, among others. After this, the upper house was adjourned till the 16th of April. The Andhra Pradesh Reorganization Amendment Bill 2026 has been passed in the Parliament after Rajya Sabha approved it with the voice vote today. The Lok Sabha had already passed the bill. It accords statutory status to Amaravati as the sole capital of Andhra Pradesh. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has completed his self-enumeration for Census 2027. In a social media post, Mr. Modi said that this is the first time data collection is being done through digital means. He added, self-enumeration also empowers the people of the country to self-enumerate their household details. The Prime Minister also appealed to citizens to self-enumerate their household details themselves and participate in the census process. This is Akashwani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at the rate AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. The Supreme Court today took a serious note of an incident in West Bengal's Malda district where seven judicial officials engaged in the Special Intensive Revision, SIR, exercise were taken hostage, terming it deplorable. Taking Suomoto cognizance of the incident, the court criticized the state administration and sought responses from the state chief secretary, DGP and other officials over their inaction on the issue. All these officers have been directed to remain present virtually before the Supreme Court on the 6th of this month. A bench headed by Chief Justice Surya Kant, along with Justices Joymala Bagchi and Vipul M. Pancholi, permitted the Election Commission to seek a probe by the CBI or NIA into the unfortunate incident. The bench also asked the poll panel to requisition central forces from anywhere in the country to ensure the safety of officials, their families and staff involved in the SIR exercise. Campaigning has gained momentum for assembly elections in Assam, West Bengal, Keralam, Tamil Nadu and Puducherry. Senior BJP leader and Union Home Minister Amit Shah today joined a roadshow in Kolkata in support of the party's candidates from Bhavanipur, Rash Bihari, Baliganj and Chaurangi assembly constituencies. Addressing the gathering, Mr. Shah stated that the lives of the people of West Bengal have become nightmares due to corruption, lack of security for women, infiltration and subsequent demographic changes. Mr. Shah arrived in Assam this afternoon on a two-day visit to campaign for NDA candidates ahead of the assembly elections. Addressing a poll rally in the Kaliabor constituency of Nagaon district, Mr. Shah criticized the Congress party for neglecting Assam during its tenure. Addressing a poll rally at Bokajan in Karbi Anglong district, senior Congress leader Rahul Gandhi said the Indian National Congress believes in decentralization of power. In Puducherry, prominent star campaigners and national leaders from various political parties engaging in roadshows, public meetings and outreach activities to seek votes for their candidates. More from our correspondent.
For the Indian National Congress, Mukul Vasnik campaigned today in Puducherry. Addressing the media, he said that the Union Territory has over the past 5 years become the worst administrated place in the country. For the BJP, Suresh Gopi participated in a family gathering meeting at Mahe Beach. He said that Mahe has benefited from national highway projects and highlighted key central initiatives aimed at improving infrastructure and public welfare. Congress Kerala leader K. Sudhakaran MP and Indian Union Muslim League leader Munawar Ali Shihab Tangal campaigned for Congress candidate in Mahe. Puducherry Chief Minister N. Rangasamy campaigned in the Nettapakkam constituency. G. Ramakrishnan campaigned for CPIM candidates in Lospet and Ulukkare constituencies. Bibin Asnath, Akashwani News, Puducherry.
In Keralam, LDF and UDF released their election manifestos today. NDA has released their manifesto earlier. In our constituency profile series, today we focus on Khowang Assembly seat of Assam. More from our correspondent.
The Khowang is a key constituency of the Dibrugarh district and it is predominantly a rural seat. Following the 2023 delimitation exercise, the erstwhile Moran constituency was renamed as Khowang with addition or shifting of some villages from the earlier constituency. In the current assembly election, 5 candidates are in fray from Khowang. The Bharatiya Janata Party has fielded Chakradhar Gogoi, who is contesting against Lurin Jyoti Gogoi, president of the Assam Jatiya Parishad, a constituent party of the Congress-led opposition alliance. Prabhakar Das and Biju Duwara are contesting as independent candidates. Khowang has over 1,57,000 voters across 206 polling stations. In the 2021 assembly election, there were 6 candidates in the fray. BJP Chakradhar Gogoi won the election with over 49% of votes. During the election, voter turnout was over 81%. Aminul Zuttar, Akashvani News, Guwahati.
In boxing, India's Aditya Pratap Yadav stormed into the quarterfinals of the Asian Boxing Championships, defeating Saudi Arabia's Maus Al-Hausau in the men's 65kg category at Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Prime Minister Narendra Modi highlights that India is advancing swiftly amid fast-changing global systems. Parliament clears Central Armed Police Forces General Administration Bill and Jan Vishwas Amendment Bill of Provisions Bill. Also passes bill to accord statutory status to Amravati as sole capital of Andhra Pradesh. Supreme Court criticizes West Bengal administration over judicial officers being held hostage during SII drive in Malda. Campaigning gains momentum for assembly elections in Assam, West Bengal, Keralam, Tamil Nadu and Puducherry. And that is all in the news at 9. Good night.